Ha
Hey, thanks for listening to Seal City SD. I'm Nick McCann, and I'm joined by Seals Jagoff.
Hey, it's the heart of the Seal season, the best time of year.
I know. We're on a tear. I mean, we're taking over this league, right? I mean, that's...
I've never felt this before, rooting for a winning team. It's amazing.
Yeah. Hey, we're also joined by Andy Keats.
What's going up, on? Fellas?
Hey, we're the hottest team in the NLL. That's all I know, right?
Four straight wins. Not bad.
Yeah. This is a really exciting time for the burgeoning Seals online community. I mean, every game is a blast. Every game is close, and we win every game. So it's working out for us.
Yeah, that really is the thing about this league, is that every game is close. If you aren't familiar with the players and you don't have all that much to root for, you can still count on getting a close game. Like, seems like 80% of the time. It's great.
Yeah. And no matter if like a bunch of players go into COVID protocol, it's just next man up, man. Just, it's the NLL and we're just having fun, and the Seals just find people, right? That's what I learned last weekend.
I mean, they called up a 52-year-old goalie, if their website is correct, right?
No, their website is not correct. I can conclude. I thought that as well, and I was watching the whole game and I was like, man, he doesn't look 52, if I'm honest. And it's because he's 19.
I would like that to be true, though. Better story.
It would have been an awesome story if it was like some old timer that you know, Govett had a connection with or something. They just brought him out. It would be very slapshot. But no, it was a 19-year-old Canadian junior pro player who came up and made his NLL debut and had a hell of a game, like 40 saves.
42. Great. 42 yeah. saves. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that last game, I want to go back to the whole thing. I mean, Frank the Tank gets into COVID protocol. And then they signed another goalie, which I can't pronounce
drafted.
His name.
He's their second round draft pick, Chris Origliere.
Yeah. And then he got thrown into the COVID protocol. So they just found this kid and
Justin Getty.
And are we in a Getty mania? Or could that happen? Could there be a Getty mania on the horizon? That's the important question, I think.
We've been begging for a goalie controversy for purposes of content on the podcast. And we've got a three-way right now.
I think that's right. I want three separate camps in the fan base and just have specific personality details, you know, that associated with each one.
Yeah, the Getty. Redheads are all going to align with Team Getty.
Yeah. Well, you know, just a quick thing, though, like the last game was an away game in Saskatoon against the Rush. And I want this to be a part of every road trip. I'm a big fan of the Josi plane as content with the team. I think every road game should involve the Psy plane, and just, it doesn't even have to be the actual Psy plane. They can just make us believe that. I'm fine with that. But like, I want to know when it's gassing up. I want to know when it's getting prepped. I just want to know everything about that all the time.
Well, you'll love this then, unless you, maybe you caught this, but there was a little bit of Psy private plane shade thrown at the Seals by the broadcasting crew on Saturday.
No, I think I missed this. What'd they say?
It was something to the effect of, well, even if you've got a private plane, coming up to Saskatoon still isn't an easy trip. Like, you know, like the rest of this league is bumming it, flying coach all over the continent, and these pampered assholes have one of the richest men alive flying them on a private jet.
I don't care. The shade is worth it, right? I mean,
oh, it's great. It's great.
Aside from like the comfort. With COVID like ripping through rosters, like it's competitively the best thing they could possibly do, right?
It's competitively the best thing they could do, and also personally, I would embrace the bad guy role. If we want to be the Raiders, if Cy wants to be our Al Davis, I'm in for it. I've never been able to carve out that territory in my sports fandom, and I think it would be fun.
I mean, it's really, like, aren't we? I mean, we've easily obtained the MVP of the league that, you know, we seem like a super team in the making.
Yeah, it does.
Well, I want the Cy plane to be the deciding factor for big free agents. Like, should I go to Colorado or should I go to San Diego? Well, they got the Cy plane, so that's that matters to me. You know, it's kind of reminds me when Mark Cuban bought the Mavericks and like revamped the entire locker room of the Mavericks, and it was like the biggest deal for years. Like, oh, they have PlayStations in their lockers. Like, I think Joe should really get out in front of that. Not that he already hasn't, but you know.
Who all was on the plane? I could only identify.
I mean, that's part of the fun of it, right? It's like, you know, deciphering social media pictures and finding out what do they have.
I saw on the way home, I think I saw Cam Holding in enjoying some champagne.
Okay. I know Noble was on it, right? In the sweatsuit, and you saw Stotts there, but I really have no idea who the other players are there.
Maybe it was Berg instead of Holding. I thought it was Holding.
But wasn't Joe there? I thought Joe was there.
Was he in the photos? I didn't see him. He might have been the one taking the photo.
Oh, I thought he made it to the warm-ups or something. Maybe I was looking at the wrong thing.
He probably has more than one private plane, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
He seems like a guy with
his own photos.
Yeah, he seems like a guy with a fleet.
Yeah. He seems like a guy. He's rich enough to have a doppelganger that he just sends out to his different sports entertainment ventures. You know?
What a charmed life that the indoor lacrosse team we root for is owned by Joe Tsai. How can we be this lucky? It's unbelievable.
Well, you know, baseball's falling apart. There's no football team, and I, you know, soccer's tough for me. But the seals, it's just fun all the time. And you know, like we already said, the games are exciting, and they don't make me feel bad.
Ever. You said it well this week. What was your quote that it's like a simple part of your life? You'd like people to
Yeah, I'd like other people to be interested in it, but I don't need other people to join it. It's just, I want people to come to it on their own, but I will invite people. But
and
I'm
if
not
they
gonna,
don't, then
yeah.
Yeah, it's not like the Loyal, where I feel like there's this intense push for people that like the Loyal to tell you you need to go to the game or you won't understand why they like it. And there's this pressure all the time to like, why don't you like it? It's great. Like, I think it's fine just having our own thing that we enjoy, like a simple pleasure in life, right? Like,
yeah,
watching ESPN Plus on Saturday nights. Like, it's a simple pleasure for me.
Yes, it is. Yeah. I mean, and you know, when the first like year or two of this show, by the way, when we did our last episode at the beginning of this season, I think I added a whole nother year of Seals lacrosse into my recounting what happened. Felt that way.
That'll happen.
But in any case, like we spent a lot of time like trying to make the case for the Seals or you know, discussing its place on among the other Pechanga teams. And I have to say, like, I just don't care about that anymore. It's just, I go to these games when I'm not at the games. I watch them on ESPN Plus. It's great.
Unironically
and straightforwardly enjoy following this league. And, you know, I'll bring people along, but I'm not exactly concerned about persuading anyone.
To be fair, it's unequivocally better than the other Pechanga sports, but you know,
maybe
aside
that's
from
it.
Reality, like
yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe it's the contented nature of just being right.
When I go into Seals world though, I don't really feel the angst of a San Diego sports fan. Like it's almost like the, you know, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind where they like remove memories. Like the Chargers were never here when I go to the Seals games. So they never left me. It's never, and the Padres aren't frustrating. I'm just in Seals world and it's not a problem.
Well, strangely enough, like going back to our very first episode of Seal City, it doesn't feel that way because we don't care about them winning. I think this was what we discussed on the very first episode. Like, do we care if they win or is it just a thing to watch that we enjoy? I do care if they win now, but I still feel that sense of just contentment with the product.
Yes. Yeah, no, I genuinely curse when they are scored on and I pump my fist like a meathead when they score. I do the full gambit of fan emotions.
Yeah.
But those are the two emotions.
Let's talk about the nuts and bolts here. The Seals are the first place team in the, is it the Western Division?
Yes.
By a pretty wide margin, they're the highest scoring team in the NLL by goals for. And I believe they have the best winning percentage in the NLL. Nope, sorry, the Buffalo Bandits are
there's one undefeated team.
Yeah, but they have played less games than the Seals. And if we recall, the one loss the Seals had was in heartbreaking fashion, where they basically dominated the entire game, possession wise. So it's a pretty, pretty good season so far, right?
Well, I mean, offensively, there's just no question that they are a force. They score in multiple different ways. They have a lot of guys who score, and Dane Doby is just such a treat. Talk about like being the bad guys of the league. And we had a discussion about whether we were going to embrace Doby after nurturing something of a rivalry with him previously. Boy, rooting for that guy is just getting wrapped in a warm blanket. I couldn't feel more comfortable.
Yeah, he seems born. He's born to do this, right? Yes.
He pisses the other team off. So every week he draws a major penalty from somebody who clearly just is so sick of playing against him that he does something dirty. And Doby makes the same confused face. And you know he's talking trash and doing all kinds of little things to elicit that reaction. And he does the same Eddie Haskell routine every time. It's fucking great. Pinging corners. He is the man.
Do we like him more because he looks like a plumber? I mean, he is
yes.
The fact that like he's like with Greg Maddux, you could look at him and be like, you know, he's just a regular dude. He's got a little beer belly, but like I feel like they have the same kind of mastery of the skills required for the game that they excel at.
Yeah, I like, Maddux is a good comparison. Yeah, he's a technician. He's
a technician.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, is that just a normal profile for, like, an exceptional player in lacrosse? There's just some guys that just have a knack for finding little openings and they're not necessarily the best athlete?
I would say he's a very specific type of indoor player. Wow. He's a box player. In my experience, you don't really see many guys with his level of athleticism on the field, but man, he is perfect for this game. I mean, well, like he got injured in the second half, or maybe he got injured at the end of the first half on Friday, and he was clearly limping around and he didn't take the first couple shifts in the second half. And when he came out, he clearly didn't have much mobility. They played him on in man up situations. He played a couple other times and he was more or less stationary, but just knew how to move just enough to get in the right position to be open for there to be a passing lane and for him to have a shooting lane. And he still scored like two goals in the second half. He was limping around out there. It was fantastic. He's the man.
Yeah.
Do you find his skills as a technician somewhat similar to how like Dan Dawson was in San Diego, where, you know, his athleticism days are well behind him, but I felt like Dan Dawson had a knack for finding the corners or finding
Dawson was more like a physical player who would he didn't have the athleticism, you know, he wasn't just beating guys off the first step and clearing out for an open shot, but he would back people down and that sort of thing. And Doby does a little bit of that. But I find Doby more about like being in the right place always. He finds exactly where the right spot in the offense is to exploit a hole and catch and shoot. And he doesn't miss. He if there's a space, if the goalie has left any space unattended, he finds it. He's also a pretty good little passer too. He feeds the crease really well. So I think he's a pretty different player than Dawson, actually. Dawson, mind you, had a significant goal this week. I can't remember exactly what it was. I think he became second highest scoring player in league history. So that was interesting.
He's like 1,400 points or something like over that.
Yeah.
What have you seen this year? He really hasn't jumped out as much to me, but that, you know, we're in year, I guess, year two of Wes Berg.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's supposed to be, you know, a leader of the team. And what have you seen from him this year that I haven't really noticed him as much as I thought I would on the field?
Jagoff, what do you think? Oh, we have lost Seals Jagoff. Well, I can vamp for a second and see if I can hop back on. I think Berg has had a number of pretty impressive goals. He's got, you know, some plays flying through the crease that he cleans up on. He in our first home game, he scored, I think, the first three goals of the game, certainly the first two. So he's been putting up points. He had a sort of like a prayer goal on Friday. Shot clock was winding down. And he just took a shot from very far out.
That's right.
And snuck one in. So I think he's the most dangerous player on the right side. Dobie and Stotts both play on the left. And so I think Berg is the most significant offensive threat on the right side.
Yeah. And Austin Stotts is out there. It's happening.
Is this where we talk about Stotts?
I'd like to. I mean, he's putting up points, right?
I mean, he is putting up a lot of points. Every game I'm frustrated by him. I don't feel like he is playing particularly well, but at the end of the day, he has an impressive point total. So there's something to be said for it, I guess.
Yeah.
Is it the part where he gets a bunch of needless penalties that put them into a penalty kill situation repeatedly in critical situations?
And they're all like just like petulant reaction penalties where he gets beat up on the offensive side. He, you know, the defenseman beats him fair and square, and he, you know, panic slashes in retaliation.
Yeah.
And gets put in the gate. And then it's, you know, you don't usually count on ending up man down when you're on the offensive end. That's bad. You don't want to do that. And he did it this past week when they were they had a power play, right?
And he brought them to even strength with his penalty.
Right. And then they scored when they were even strength in that penalty.
He takes a lot of desperation shots also that seem ill-advised, where he rushes the offense instead of running an organized offense. It's frustrating to watch a lot of times.
It is, yeah.
Was that a glaring problem for him in earlier seasons? Because, I mean, so many of his seasons are cut short that we've had, but I don't remember that being like a glaring thing.
Do you find him to be playing as physical as he used to? I seem to remember him playing in the post a lot and just pushing bodies around, and I don't know if I see that as much now.
The thing I'm missing from him, I don't think he creates as much space. When he dodges now, defenders seem like the half step he was able to get doesn't seem to be coming as freely, and then he sort of gets bodied. So I don't know. I don't think his legs are all the way back from the knee injury yet. Knee injuries, I guess I should say.
Yeah. I mean, they shouldn't be.
And also every time, and he ends up on the floor a lot as well. And every time he does, I think he's hurt again.
Yeah. It's kind of tough to watch. Let's just say it. It's like,
you think that, and we'll be sending messages to each other about how Stotts is pissing us off. And then he'll go and score like a key goal at a key moment. So.
Yeah. His outside shooting has been very good. He's had a couple really big shots in big moments. 2 weeks ago against Panther City, he had in the second quarter, he had a really nice shot it was like a little shoulder fake hesitation that totally froze the defense and took a step and buried one. It was a pretty cool goal. So you can see the player that he was in there. And maybe as the season goes along, we'll start to see it more and more, but there are a lot of frustrating moments with him right now.
Yeah.
You know where we don't have frustrating moments? With Mac O'Keefe and Trey LeClaire, who I adore, both of them.
Yes. that's the offense right now with those two guys is because Berg, Dobie, and Stotts, you know, you can sort of count on them getting goals. But to have two rookies doing what Leclerc and O'Keefe are doing is what takes the offense to basically, I mean, it's the best offense in the league. That's unstoppable.
Now, at the same time, the last episode, I think we went through I think it's indoor lacrosse, the IL lacrosse, the ESPN IL indoor, lacrosse yeah. website. Yeah. Where their main comment on their prediction of the 10th place Seals was our terrible defense. And yeah. I mean, statistically, our defense has been the best in the NLL, I think. Looking at goals against and the number of games we played, I mean, they are the best defense in the league.
Yeah, and they've been good every game. Like there hasn't been, you know, a couple that like one or two bad offenses have skewed that number. They've had good defensive performances every week. The home opener, they had the two end of quarter goal giveaways where it was like, you know, possessions with under 5 seconds left in the quarter that resulted in goals and ended up being the difference in the game. Those were maddening. But besides those two mental lapses, they've basically played great defense all year, and including with three goals at this point.
Yeah. I mean, including
two of them who said that like it was difficult for them to get started in the game. I mean, they had some butterflies. They said they let in some goals that they probably shouldn't have. And our defense is still great.
Yeah. And the last game, Brody Merrill was out on COVID. So on the COVID list.
So it's a system. I mean, maybe it's Patrick Merrill's system that he's got. Is that remember the first game after the first game we were talking about, you know, should we be looking in another direction for coach and GM? I mean, I guess he's answered that question, right?
I would say so.
Yeah.
I mean, and Casey Jackson hasn't been on the floor in what, three games? So you got more offensive firepower coming back too.
Yeah. Yeah. Where is he? COVID?
I think COVID as well.
Does he have long COVID? There might have been an injury. Time.
I think there might have been an injury and then COVID.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to think.
Hold on a second. There's just like no end to the offensive talent on this roster. I mean, as of now, obviously injuries can happen and whatever, but they're unstoppable right now, it seems like.
Yeah.
It's a far cry from the patience requested of trying to get Connor Fields adapted to the box game or make Connor Kelly a thing. This is just everybody knows what they're doing out there. And everything was also Noble, clearly a blue guy.
Great.
He's been great. And
I think he's been much better than the last time we saw him on the last year.
Yeah, totally. He strikes me as basically being in like the Buchanan role, the glue guy on offense, plays on the crease a lot. Maybe a little bit more dangerous as a goal scorer than Buchanan was. But
one other thing that's been great is the ESPN selected the Saskatchewan Rush to be the number one team in the NLL, and they're currently 1-4 and were crushed by the Seals last game. So
in their own house,
I'm liking the Seals operating in this, you know, showing the, I don't know where the bias is, Northern bias, that the Seals are a lot better than they thought they would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody believes in us. That's the thing. So we got a game against the Roughnecks next game. You know, is that going to be complicated with Dobie going back? Or actually, they're coming out to us, but
and Berg too.
And Berg, yeah.
Didn't we crush them already?
Yes.
Like just dismantled and embarrassed them, didn't we? we started the episode talking about how close all the games were. That game was not close at all.
Yeah,
that's true. I guess I think they made a run at one point. There was a moment where it seemed like it might become close. Or is that not even true?
Was it the Panther City? Panther City, it seemed like.
Yeah, there was that run.
Panther City certainly got close.
Calgary was the one where Dobie scored 7 goals, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. God, Dobie is such a badass.
He's so great.
Yeah, so we have the Roughnecks and then Panther City after that.
And so it's a good schedule for us. I was looking at the full schedule. It's certainly going to get harder later, but I mean, we're in a good position. Like they do what they're supposed to do.
Coming at a good time too, as well. Yeah. I think all this COVID problems, get everybody back, a couple couple weeks to practice and well.
Yeah, you know, stick to the private jet for transport. Like the team's going to be fine.
Do you think they don't? They probably don't bring them back for bye weeks to practice for like a Friday and Saturday and send them back to their hometowns, right?
With COVID, it'd be way too risky, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I'm just glad this league seems to be handling it pretty well, considering. I mean, they're just going forward.
So I guess I should mention the Panther City game at Pechanga 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, you were there.
Yeah, and it was at the moment of the Omicron wave where everybody was sort of looking around like, are we really allowed to go to events? And so I decided I was going to go, which was, you know, sort of a calculated risk. I decided I was going to go, but I was expecting it to be empty. And, you know, I knew that the soccer's games in the 2 weeks preceding it had been very low attendance, though those were, you know, during holiday weeks. So maybe not an apples to apples comparison. But I was expecting it to be noticeably less well attended than a typical Seals game. And it was basically fine. Crowd was basically fine. Felt very normal in there. It's, you know, still any game at Pechanga, usually enough, you could spread out a little bit so you don't feel like you're on top of people.
Yeah.
And I did. But it was a nice crowd and basically felt like a normal Seals environment.
One thing I'm noticing though is just watching the games on TV is that this isn't a Seals problem. I mean, if you look at the arena in Saskatchewan last week, and that's an arena where they usually sell out, it didn't really look that different from the Seals game so far.
It looked a lot like a Seals game. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's just an NLL. It's just a societal thing at this point. I don't even know if we could say it's an NLL thing.
It's indoor sports. It's just, it's tough. Yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, I'd say the Seals look pretty good actually comparatively to the loss of attendance that I saw in Saskatoon last week.
Yeah, I agree. And I think for the league, you basically take all of last year off. You take half of the year before that off. You know, you can't just keep pushing things forward. At a certain point, you got to just accept that maybe you're going to have lower attendance than you'd like, but you need to, you know, rebuild the fan base. So I'm glad they've continued. They canceled a couple games, which was probably prudent, but after that, I'm glad that they've continued the season and sort of just allowed people to make their own decisions. And then, and Pechanga is vaxxed or negative test as well. So
was that game canceled or is it being postponed for later in the season?
Postponed, I should say.
Okay. Yes.
I think unless I've missed some, every game I've seen that has had a COVID change has been postponed, not canceled.
Okay.
When you were at the arena for that game, I think there was I don't know if we ever confirmed this. I can't remember if you told us or not, but is it true that he didn't have the beer deal? That seemed like a big deal on Twitter at
the time. Were other people tweeting about it as well?
Yeah, there was. I mean, I don't want to blow up the Seals because, you know, they put on a great show, but, you know, I heard there wasn't a beer deal that night.
Yeah. So if this there was like a beer deal. If there was a beer deal that night, I couldn't find it. I looked, and as I was looking, I saw other people, and we did the knowing head nod where, you know, the like miming of confused and frustrated people. And we were looking at the stands that are typically set up for the $3 beers that were not in operation. So let's just hope that was a one-time thing.
Yeah. They get one mistake.
Well, Kings and Convicts isn't like a common can. So, I mean, if you didn't see anyone carrying the can around, I think it's pretty safe to say they probably didn't have the deal.
That's true. And Kings and Convict is like a significant sponsor of the team this year. They are heavily featured in all of the in-game advertisements on ESPN Plus. And they've got, you know, signs along the boards in the box. I think they even have a logo on the jersey now that I think about it.
Yeah, they do. On their shoulder blade.
Yeah. So I got to assume that was a temporary thing. If not, significant miscalculation, guys. Let's bring it back.
Yeah,
let's. And that Pilsner you had in week one, great.
Yeah,
welcome it.
That's keep it that. Was fine. Maybe perfect. Something with higher ABV would be fine. Also, I'm just saying. Just remember the good times we had with the Latitude, whatever blood orange IPA.
Blood orange. I still pick that up every once in a while just to remember that night. But that's well, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know when I'm going to get down there. I want to go in February. I hope it's just
2 weeks. You're still too early for you. 2 weeks.
I don't know. Yeah. Where are you at with it? Do you think, are you going to go next time? I think
I'm back. I'm going. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I'm skipping this one and then I'm going to play it by ear after that.
Well, yeah. Are there any other topics we should hit before we get out, or?
I think we regroup after the next game or two. And I mean, we do have a bye this week. So I say we regroup after the next game against Calgary, because we'll love nothing more than discussing the stomping of our hated Calgary Roughneck rival team.
Dobie's revenge.
This is, we can say clearly, this is very much a contending team. This is the way things look at this point.
Championship contending team.
Yes, that's what I mean. With the way things look right now, this is anything less than a championship will be disappointing.
And if we win the division, I forget how the playoffs work, but if we win the division, do we get like a bye through a round or anything like that? Or is it just a top seed in the...
I think it's just top seed.
I want that. I want the playoff game. I want more playoff games.
The Monday night playoff games.
Yeah. Those playoff games were fun. Or that one playoff game was fun, I should say. Also, you know, if history is any indication, it's quite easy and common to swing midseason trades here. Teams are really willing to fork over future draft picks. And I think the teams that are out of it are content to let go of a salary or two. So we should keep our eyes out over the next couple of weeks for
when is the deadline?
Positions. There is a deadline. Yeah. I don't know what it is offhand, but
it seems like it'll be a few weeks, right? About midway through the season. So
what I was suggesting was we should keep our eyes out for where we think it would be appropriate to look for reinforcements.
Yeah.
Presumably on the defensive end. I don't know that there's room for another forward.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
I mean, with Casey Jackson coming back, I don't know where the minutes would come from. So,
yeah, I mean, we're going to be buyers at the deadline, no question about it. All right. Well, I think this is a great episode of Seal City SD. I mean, it's a great team. It's a great run we're on. Let's just keep it going. I don't know what else to say. We just have to keep this going.
When do we play Buffalo or Halifax? Or do we play Buffalo or Halifax?
I don't think we play Halifax.
Those are the undefeated teams. God, or Halifax is undefeated. Buffalo maybe has a loss, but is... both of those teams are undefeated. Those are both teams are both in the East, so we don't have to contend with them for division rights, but it would be nice to have bragging rights, especially because, as you say, the media in this league is so slanted against.
Well, against we don't play Western either of them. Teams.
All right.
Yeah, we don't play either of them. Yeah.
Play Albany. Yeah.
They're ducking us.
We've got Albany and Toronto, I think, are our Eastern games.
I think Toronto is
middle of the pack. Yeah.
Hey, when we play Toronto, maybe we can get another member of parliament on. And talk.
I forgot about that.
Who wouldn't want to come on the number one most downloaded lacrosse podcast in the world? So.
We should keep our eyes out for other potential guests.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk to maybe some other shows of other teams. Somebody like a Toronto Rock podcast, or I don't know.
We just bring Sask Rush fan on.
Yeah,
we should bring Sask Rush. Yeah. I'd be interested in hearing what he has to say about how his people are handling the COVID implications of attending an indoor game during the winter.
Yeah. And what it's like to not have a Cyplane.
That must be embarrassing.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for listening to Seal City SD. We'll check in after the next game. All right.
Go Seals.
Go dive in.
Party hard, dive in, go Seals, right? Go Isn't Seals. That the slogan? Yeah,
I think that's it.
What do you guys think? Well, one more in-game the in-game entertainment, the this or that, where they do the photos of the other cities thing, and then a photo of something from San Diego, the crowd boos the visiting teams stuff and cheers the San Diego stuff. How do you feel about that?
It's good. I'm neutral on it.
Neutral.
It's fine. It's fine.
No big takes. Okay.
Yeah.
I like that they're going for they're trying stuff.
Yeah. You know, I like trying new stuff. Season,
you know, it's good. All righty.
All right, guys.
We'll see you next time. Go Seals. Bye. We must protect this field. We must protect this field. We must protect this field. Player hearts that this is our house with a San Diego Seals.